I'll be reading Philippians 1, 3 through 11, and also from the Gospel of Luke. From the letter of Paul to the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. And from the third chapter of Luke's Gospel. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. This is the word of the Lord. We find ourselves in the second week of Advent, having discussed last week the difficulty sometimes to hope in the world we live in, and again this week seeing senseless violence on the news. So it is fitting that we turn to three promising and difficult texts, three promising and difficult scriptures, to talk about what it really means to bear peace. Peace is not and never has been a particularly popular concept beyond lip service. Everyone wants to live in peace, but no one wants to do what it takes to get there. Peace is hard. Peace transcends this idea that I am okay with you. Peace means that I learn to embrace those that I have considered my enemies. Peace requires vulnerability and honesty. Peace really stinks sometimes. It's far better just to win. Victory and peace are not always the same thing. But I really do believe, or I would not do what I do, and I think that you all believe too, or you wouldn't be here, that what Paul says is true, that the one who has began a good work in us, the one who has begun working among us, is not done and will finish. It is good news for me that I am not done yet. Because I still do dumb things pretty frequently. Like forgetting to tell my 6-year-old that he was reading scripture today. Surprise, Quinn. Good job. Like forgetting that I would need some water because it's kind of warm up here. for some of us. Some of you are cold. I see you. You have like a little igloo over there. It's great. One of these days, I'm going to leave the sanctuary to go get water or something, and I'm just going to stand outside and see what y'all do if I don't show back up. Maybe somebody will get filled with the Holy Spirit and pop up, like John in the wilderness. It ought to be very freeing for us that the promise of peace comes from beyond us and is rooted in the idea that we are not finished. It ought to be comforting to allow us to admit our faults when we understand it is not our perfection that is an arbiter of peace, but rather it is God who is saving us, who brings peace. These three passages are all tied together. It starts with this promise of Malachi to a people who have lost their concept of God, who cannot understand where God has gone. God is not in the temple. And Malachi promises that the messenger, the one who's preparing the way of God, will come back. But who can stand before him? Who can really be in front of the one who refines with fire? And then we have the person of John, who I think is one of the most interesting biblical characters. He lives in the wilderness, and if you really read today's scripture, it's not that he hears the voice of God and goes to the wilderness. John is already in the wilderness when the voice of God comes to him and says, okay, now we're going to just turn the dial up to 11 on the crazy. He's already kind of living out there, being weird. One of the next couple of weeks, we'll read a story about how even when he was in his mother's womb, he was doing dance parties for Jesus. That's true. I didn't make that up. That's in the Greek. Translates directly to dance party. You can look it up in that book Scott had earlier. I'm totally making all that up, obviously. John is this charismatic Old Testament character who shows up in the New Testament. He's this one who embodies something we all need to learn. See, so many of us will make this excuse that I'm only human and I can't do that because, well, that's really God's job. And I just told you, we need to take comfort in the fact that there are things beyond us. But see, taking comfort in the fact that something is being done by God through us is not the same as saying, well, God will take care of that and becoming inactive. John gets that he is not the Messiah. And if you've ever known someone with the Messiah complex, that's a great thing. Because those people, well, God's working in them too. All of us. God's working in all of us, but especially in those people. Just another way of blessing their hearts. John gets that he's not the Messiah, but he's open and ready and prepared to do what it takes to make the space in the world for God's work to be done. And so in the desert, being strange, God's voice comes to him and he begins to preach a very popular and dangerous message. He preaches repentance and he's baptizing people and they all come to him, except when those in authority come to him, he says to them, no, this is really, who told you? Who told you to escape? Who told you to get out of the way? By the way, it's this exact message that will be John's undoing. Those people we mentioned earlier in the story, eventually, those people who are all named before John shows up, some of them are going to make sure he stops prematurely. Some of them are going to make sure that he cannot continue to threaten their hold on power. John is this fascinating character who fulfills this promise of one who prepares the space for God to be present. Here's the thing. We are all called not to be messiahs, but to be people who are equally messengers. If I was going to give it to you in like some sweet youth camp terms, it would be, you're always sending some sort of message. You're always being watched, which is super creepy, right? Sometimes I feel like somebody's watching me. There's a song that goes with that. Come on, guys. Tom's with me. But the reality is that each and every one of us have this opportunity to bear out this message and to impact the world in a way that matters. Not because we are the Messiah, not because we're going to fix everything, but because we know the one who is already fixing things. But that doesn't mean we just sit back, hands off. We have to be engaged with the world. I want to be really kind of blunt. The people who seek to wreak havoc in the world are very well prepared. You can just look through the news. The people who seek to sow fear and discord have spent a lot of time thinking about it. How much time have you spent thinking about how to be an agent of peace? It's tough to be at peace. Adam, can you come up here for a second? I didn't tell Adam I was going to call him up here. But I'm jealous of his beard, so. You know that secretly all men with beards are feuding, right? He knows. Michael, you may be next. Sorry. All men with beards are feuding. Adam and I, we could pass each other all the time, right? Adam used to work at Target.
Yes.
Okay? I was at Target yesterday. You had a real opportunity to be a peace bearer at Target or something. So, Adam and I, again, Adam's just standing up here. He has no idea what I'm about to say. I feel a little bit like David Copperfield, except much less talented. So, not the Charles Dickens, David Copperfield, the other one. Statue of Liberty, yeah. So, Adam and I secretly have a feud because of beards. And if I was going to be at peace with Adam, you know the first thing I have to do is actually put myself in the same physical space with Adam. Right? I know where you live, man. It's true. I've been swimming in his swimming pool, so I do know where he lives. I know where you live. I have to be near Adam, right? Now, don't pay any attention to what your body is doing right now, but sometimes during sermons, some of you start to sit like this, right? Don't look at him. Don't make him nervous. Some of you start to sit like this, which means a couple of things. You're cold and you're trying to keep your core warm, or you're just done. You're just kind of like, man, I wish I could see what time it is and just turn around and look at the clock that only the pastor can see. Will he notice if I let you? Yes, I see you look at your watch. It's okay. This is the body language a lot of us live in the world with. I don't like the ideas you have. I see the things you say on Facebook when your wife posts them. Please keep coming to church here, by the way.
I'm trying.
They're really funny, though. So, I don't like cats. I'm okay with cats. Just bear with me. Calm down. Adam loves cats. But as long as I'm unopened to his ideas, is there any way that he and I are really going to reconcile? Like, if he and I were going to try to hug it out right now, it would get super weird, right? We'd just be two bearded men bumping. And as entertaining as that is, We can make a music video. Auction it off tonight. Bearded men bumping. $100. So, the first thing that we have to do... can you stand here for just a minute? Are you okay with that? All right. You're not too hot?
Not yet.
Okay. It is warm up here, right? The first thing we have to do, if we're really going to be as prepared as those who would be our enemies, and hear me, they're not enemies until we let them be. Do you understand that? They don't have that power over us. The first thing we have to do is learn to live a little opened up. This is a dangerous way to live. What if somebody wants to poke you? You are unable to defend yourself. What if I wanted to reconcile with Adam and our beard feud, but he just wanted to punch me? Look at that. That would have been like the shortest end of a sermon ever. I would have just dropped. I get it. I do. Living as an agent of peace means that we have to take steps that put us at risk. Which is why we have to go back to that part where somehow through us and beyond us, God is working to enable us to open up and believe that something more powerful than us is at work. Eventually, if I do this long enough, Adam may feel the need to do the same thing. Hey! I am like David Copperfield. Shabam! Eventually, you know I didn't used to be a hugger, right? Eventually, my vulnerability, and this is what really happens between people, by the way. We have these energies that go between us that if I'm like just being frumpy, he's going to maybe eventually be frumpy too, unless he's just super self-aware and chooses not to feed off of my energy. You do that, right? You go into a room full of angry people and you don't feel so good anymore yourself, do you? It takes intentionality to be agents of peace. It takes hearing a message of God in the weird wilderness and saying, okay, I will open myself up to ridicule and potential harm so that eventually...
Now I'm going to hold it a little weirdly long.
Thanks, man. You can sit down. Let's give Adam a hand. It really is a good beard, man. I watched what happened this week in San Bernardino. After spending last Sunday talking about being hopeful and being people who could act like there is a different reality in the world than the one we see on the news. After challenging us to turn off our ideological partisan news feeds and just be present. And I watched what happened in a hate-filled room in San Bernardino. And I listened to this God who walked among us who kept saying, "Peace be with you." And I thought, as they rummaged through all the equipment that those who perpetuated violence had amassed, and I thought, how prepared are we to really be agents of peace? I get it. It seems like I'm asking you to do something dangerous. No, it's not me. It's the gospel. The gospel is asking us to live lives of dangerous vulnerability, of intentionality and preparedness, not necessarily to defend ourselves, but to be ready to embrace those who even would seek to harm us. The great news for you in life is probably that I don't walk everywhere with you all the time. That would be weird. The great news about being a Baptist is that I'm not even in charge of telling you how to act when you leave this place. Or a lot of you know I don't tell you how to act when you're in this place. But the reality is that when we leave here, we have an opportunity to be real ministers, real messengers of a different message, of a deeper peace than what the world offers. And unless we are spending time preparing our hearts and minds, we won't know how to act. The second challenge this Advent season follows the first. In the first, turn off the bickering, partisan noise in your life. And the second is fill that space with prayer and scripture reading, those good Sunday school things. Spend your time preparing to be a messenger of what we proclaim this season, that God is with us. Amen.